Well, this morning I'd like to start what I imagine will probably turn into a several sermon series on being a disciple. And, you know, we have called ourselves the Cleveland Disciples Fellowship, and I think that's a, well, obviously I like the name because I was the one who was wanting to make sure it had the disciples in there. But what is a disciple? What does that mean? And I want to take a little time to delve into it, and we'll just go as deep as the Lord leads and opens up, and there's a lot here. There's a lot in it. Ultimately, if you just look up the word, Strong's defines it as being a pupil or a student, being a learner. So what does that mean? What does that look like? What's the practical outworking of being a disciple? What makes you a disciple as opposed to just a friend? And what are some of the characteristics and things that a disciple ought to be walking in, looking out for, standing guard against? We're going to dive into this. What does it mean to be a disciple? What is involved in that? The first thing that comes to my mind is to believe on Jesus. Amen. That's the first step, I believe, in being a disciple. You have to believe in Him. But now, belief, this is more than just a head belief. I think of James chapter 2, verse 19 and 20, where he says, "You believe, thou believest that there is one God, thou doest well. The devils also believe and tremble. But wilt thou know, O vain man, that faith without works is dead?" So your faith, your belief, has to be an active working belief. It has to be a belief that does something. It can't just be I believe in God. Any logical mind of any living creature can't help but believe that there's a God and know that there's a God. The point where Solomon says in the book of Proverbs that only a fool would say there is no God. You'd have to be a fool to say there is no God. And I believe most people who would make that kind of a statement and claim, "Oh, there isn't a God, I don't believe there's a God," they're intentionally making themselves a fool. They're intentionally saying, "I believe this," even though they themselves have to know, because any logical, conscious mind has to know there is a God. It's obvious all around us. You can't have creation without a creator. You can't have a building without a builder. You can't have a painting without a painter. There is obvious testimony and witness and proof all around us every single day that there is a God. So this is more than just the head knowledge. Yeah, I believe there's a God. This is an active belief. It says faith without works is dead. In John chapter 1, verse 12, Jesus said, or John says, "As many as received Him," Jesus Christ, "to them gave He power to become the sons of God, even to them who believe on His name." So this belief in God is a belief that produces certain fruits in our lives. It's a belief which God honors with the power or the ability, the call, the draw to become adopted into His family. This belief is critical. You cannot receive Him without believing in Him, without believing that He is God and that He is who He says He is, and without that belief causing you to respond correctly to all that He says and all that He has to offer. Jesus said, or John said, "As many as received Him, to them gave He power to become the sons of God." This is an active belief. This belief takes what I am And it puts me in a position where now I can receive power from God to change, to become something more than I am. It's critical. It's important. It says in Romans that with the heart, man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth, confession is made unto salvation. So this belief is critical. You can't just have belief. Just believing that God exists, that's not enough. That doesn't make you a disciple. But it's critical. This is the first step. This is a critical step. You can't be there unless you do believe, unless you do follow. Jesus answered in John chapter 6, 29. He says, Jesus answered and said unto them, this is the work of God, that ye believe on him whom he hath sent. This is the essence of following God, is believing him and believing Jesus Christ who he has sent. This is the very, if you want to break it down into a nutshell, what does it mean to be a follower of Christ? Well, the very basic essence is to believe on God and to believe on Jesus Christ whom he sent. You can't get around that. Belief is the bedrock. It's the basis, and it's the crux from which all of this then can be built and grow. So being a disciple, the first thing is believe. I must believe. In Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6, he says, but without faith or belief, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. He says it is impossible to please God. You cannot do it. There's no other way. There's no other shortcut. If you don't start from the basis of belief, you're not going to get there. It's impossible. There's no other foundation here that is laid that you must, first of all, first and foremost, in order to be a disciple, in order to follow God, in order to go on from there to maturity, he has to start with belief. Believing, first off, he says, that God is. So you have to start off with the belief that even the demons have, that God exists, okay? You have to be fully settled. That has to be settled in your mind. God is. He's in charge, he's the creator, he's the boss, he's the king. He is, always was, always will be. And then, the next step, he says, and you have to believe that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. So it's important now, not only that you believe that God is, but that you believe that he is exactly who he says he is. This is who God reveals himself to be, a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. So you have to not only believe that God exists, but you have to believe that he is who he says he is. God says he is love. He says he is good. He says he is righteous and holy and faithful and never changes. Yesterday, today, and forever, he is always the same. You have to believe that he exists, but you also have to believe that he is who he says that he is. He says, I am good. You have to believe that. You have to know that. The demons know that God exists, but they don't believe that he's good. They believe he exists, but they don't believe that he's good. They can't argue against the fact that he's holy and righteous, but they don't want to follow and serve him because they don't think that it's worth it. They don't think that that's the best thing that they could get. They thought maybe they'd get better position or better whatever by following after the usurper, Lucifer, who stood up and said, well, I'm going to be like God too. I'm going to start my own little kingdom here, and you can come follow me if you want to. And a third of them said, yeah, that sounds good to me. So they believed that God is. They know that God is, but they did not believe that God is who he has revealed himself to be. They didn't believe God's word. They didn't believe God's testimony of himself. And so it's important as we walk this path, as we start this journey, looking at what is a disciple. First and foremost, I want us to take a good long look and think, and realize it is believing God. It is believing Jesus Christ. It is believing that He is and who He says He is. That He's right. That He knows what He's talking about. That He not only exists, but He is all the things that He says that He is. All that He's revealed in His Word, in creation, in all the things and testimonies around us, all down through eternity past till eternity present, He is truly who He is. He is the King. He is all-powerful. He is eternal. He is almighty. He is all-present. He is all-wise. He is all-holy and righteous and just. And the very first step in being made a disciple of Christ Jesus is to believe that. A belief that acts. A belief that continues on, that stands firm. A belief by which God then empowers you and I to become children of God, sons and daughters of God. You're not going to have the strength to withstand. We're going to get into the difficulties because there's a lot of benefits and good things and blessings of being a disciple, but it's not all a bed of roses. And you're not going to have the strength to withstand and to stand and to be faithful if you don't get this settled once and for all in your mind. God is, and He is exactly who He says He is. We talked several months back about how in psychology and philosophy, it's a prized commodity to simply question everything. Nothing's absolute. Everything's up for debate. If you are going to follow God and you're going to become a disciple, certain things aren't up for debate anymore. Certain things have to be settled in your mind and your heart now that are settled for the rest of your life. God is. And He is exactly who He says that He is. Now, I might not always experience it that way. I might not always feel it that way. I might sometimes go, man, I just can't see how God's working this out for the good of those who love Him. I can't see right now how this is all bringing glory and honor to Him. I can't see right now how this is an expression of His love and His faithfulness and His care. But yet, with Job, you have to say, I know who I have believed and am persuaded that He is able to keep that which I've committed unto Him against that day. I know that He is. I believe that He is. I've settled that. It's not a question anymore of whether He exists. It's not a question anymore that He not only exists, but He is exactly who He says that He is. He is the King. He is in charge. He is all-powerful. He is all-good and loving and righteous and holy. I must settle that now in my heart. That's the first step of being a disciple, is that I am settled, anchored to this foundation by faith that He is exactly who He says that He is. That is the first step, belief. The next thing that comes to my mind would be that disciples are followers. They follow their master. They follow the one to whom they profess to be a disciple. In Matthew chapter 8, verse 21 through 23, He says, another disciple said unto Him, Lord, suffer me first to go and bury my father. But Jesus said unto him, follow me, and let the dead bury their dead. And I love in verse 23, it says, and when He was entered into a ship, His disciples followed Him. We're not actually told who this guy is, and we're not told whether He followed Him or not. But any that were truly His disciples followed Him. This man here had a choice. He was torn between his family and his life and the things that he loved and cared about and following Christ. He wanted to follow Christ. He wanted to be a disciple. But he also had these other things that were pulling at him, and he wasn't really sure what he wanted to do. And he was like, well, Christ, if you'll just wait a minute, let me go and take care of all these other things that I care about, and then I will come and follow you. And it says here, just a very simple statement that's often overlooked, but it says that when he entered into a ship, his disciples followed him. So that was the true test here, the true mark of whether you are a disciple of Christ or not, is do you follow him? You have to believe, but you have to follow. It's a continuing on. It's not done just, oh yeah, I believe. Great. Now are you following? Because that is the mark of a disciple. A disciple follows. John chapter 10, verse 3 through 5, he says, to him the porter openeth, this is to Christ, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calleth his own sheep by name, and leadeth them out, and when he putteth forth his own sheep, he goeth before them, and the sheep follow him. This is the mark of being a sheep, or being a disciple, is they will follow him, for they know his voice. And a stranger will they not follow, but will flee from him, for they know not the voice of strangers. You want to know whether you're truly a disciple or not? Here's the mark. Do you follow him? Because his sheep do follow him. That is a characteristic that marks them. They do follow him. You're going to make mistakes. You're going to trip. You're going to stumble. Sometimes the shepherd's going to have to come seeking for you and lift you up out of a pit that you fell into. But is the course of my life that I follow him? If I am a disciple, that is the thing that will mark me as a disciple, as a sheep, as a follower of Christ, is that I follow him. You can't claim to be a follower and not follow. You can't claim to be a disciple and not learn and not follow and not desire to become like the one who you claim to be a disciple of. One more here in John chapter 10, verse 25 through 27. Jesus answered them, they said, tell us whether you be the Christ. And he says, I told you, and ye believed not. The works that I do in my Father's name, they bear witness of me, but ye believe not, because ye are not of my sheep. As I said unto you, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. This is a proof that you're not a sheep of mine, Jesus says, because you don't follow me. You don't believe. You asked me, I told you, you didn't believe me. The works that I do, they prove that I am who I say I am, and you don't believe them. This is a proof that you're not a sheep of mine, you're not a disciple of mine, because my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. This is a marker of being a sheep or a disciple of Christ and of God, is you do follow him. Again, not perfectly all the time, not like you're never going to make a mistake, but this is the mark of a disciple in your life. I follow Christ. When he leads me, I'm not the one going, I don't really want to go there. No, I'm going, Father, yes, Jesus, yes, I will follow. You're the boss. You're in charge. You say it, I will follow. I believe you. I trust you. I believe that you know what's best for me. And where you want me to go is going to be where I should go, and I will follow because I trust you. I will follow. The next thing that I notice about a disciple is that they left all. They left all. This is important. Because you can't be torn between two masters. You can't be a good soldier and be wrapped up in the affairs of this life to where they're consuming your attention and your energy and your focus. They left all. Mark chapter 10, verse 28 through 30, he says, "Then Peter began to say unto him, Lo, we have left all and have followed thee." This is the mark of a disciple. We have left all and have followed thee. And Jesus answered and said, "Verily I say unto you, there is no man that hath left house or brethren or sisters or father or mother or wife or children or lands for my sake and the gospel's, but he shall receive an hundredfold. Now in this time, houses and brethren and sisters and mothers and children and lands, and lands with persecutions, and in the world to come, eternal life." This is a rewarding life. But one of the key things that you must do in starting your walk and continuing your walk as a disciple is you must leave all else. Everything else has to become insignificant in comparison to Christ Jesus. You can't truly, passionately follow and love and be conformed to the image of someone who you're half-heartedly, "Yeah, I like him, I like this too. I love Jesus and coffee and butter bread." That's not helpful. That's not love. That's not the kind of love that God calls us to. That's not the kind of love that a disciple must have in order to truly be a disciple. You must be willing to leave all else. All else. Whether it be your reputation, your money, your friends, your family, your respect, your comforts, whatever it be, this is the mark of a disciple, that they leave all else. Everything else becomes insignificant for the prize of the Savior, and I want to be like Him. Paul echoes this when he says, that all else I've counted it as dung, that I may win Christ. I have one goal, to be like Him. Everything else is so insignificant that I don't care a bit about it. Everything else is so unimportant that it's literally the value of a pile of manure to me. It's revolting in comparison to Christ. I must leave all. That is the mark of a disciple. Luke chapter 5, verse 27 through 28. "After these things he went forth and saw a publican named Levi." This is the same disciple who we know as Matthew. "Levi, sitting at the receipt of customs, and he said unto him, Follow me. And he left all." Left all. Rose up and followed him. Matthew wasn't going, "Oh, well, let me get my books in order. Let me grab my money bag. Let me go ahead and grab a couple of things from home." He left all and followed Christ. When Christ came and said, "Matthew, follow me," that was all that mattered at that moment. That was all that mattered anymore to Matthew, was, "I will follow Christ." He left all. He left all. When we read of when Jesus called James and John, he says he called them and immediately they left the boat, they left their nets, they left the fish they'd caught so far that day, they left their father, they left the servants, they left it all. It wasn't important anymore. It didn't have any value in comparison to the Son of God saying, "Follow me, become like me. Be my disciple." Full abandonment. They didn't care anymore about that ship which probably had been in their family for generations, that was one of their prized possessions. This is how their family made a living. This was the family heirloom that had value. This was, as a fisherman in those days, there wasn't a whole lot that you had that had value. This was the one thing that had value because it was the one tool you couldn't do your job without. And they left it immediately. They left the servants, which indicates a life of a little bit of comfort. They left their father. They left their home. They left what fish they had caught that day. They left their nets. They left all and followed Jesus. They counted that he was worthy of all. They viewed him as being worth it. And they freely, happily abandoned everything that they had counted of value in their life up to that point. All of it. They left all and followed him. Levi had probably one of the highest paying jobs in Israel at the time because you're working for the Romans. And most of the tax collectors, we're told in another place, padded their pockets out of what they took as taxes. So Matthew had probably one of the best paying jobs in the whole region at that time. He was established. He had a reputation. He had a certain amount of respect. People didn't try to argue and fight with him because he had the power of the whole Roman army behind him. And when he said, hey, it's time to pay your taxes, it's going to be $30, you just paid it. You didn't go, oh, well, no, I'm not paying that much. No, Matthew had a reputation. He had respect. He had a good-paying job. He had security. And he left all immediately. He didn't value those things in relation to Christ. This is the mark of a disciple. He leaves all. Those things aren't important anymore. He counts them as dung that he may win Christ and be found in him. Not having mine own righteousness, Paul says, but the righteousness which is of God by faith. It's not important to hang on to these things, to try to watch out for myself, to try to take care of myself, to try to protect my interests, to try to keep my reputation and my friendships and all these things that I value and count worthwhile. How much value do they have in comparison to Christ? To eternity. Everlasting life or everlasting death. These men made a choice that day. Guess what? Matthew's not going to get rehired by the Roman government. He's not. There's no recourse on this. He burned that bridge when he left the bags of money laying there, which he had been collecting on their behalf. When he left the bags of the books with all the registry sitting there, when he left his position and he left his post, he left that behind. There was no going back. There was no, well, I'll see how it goes and then I'll come back here if it doesn't work out. Nope, you burned that bridge. There's no going back. He committed fully to following Christ Jesus. He left all. He may have even faced a certain amount of legal trouble in future if they had tracked him down and said, hey, aren't you the guy that left however many thousand denarii laying out there and people stole it and you didn't collect, you know, you didn't turn in your last payment, you didn't give a 2-week notice, you didn't turn in the books, you just abandoned your post. Soldiers got killed for abandoning their post. I don't know what happened to tax collectors if they just abandoned their post, but he didn't care because Jesus came by. And Jesus was worth it. He abandoned it all. He gave it all up without reserve and without going, oh, well, all right, yeah. Grab one of the bags, tuck it behind his back. I'm coming. Nope, he left all. He didn't try to think about, well, what are we going to eat tomorrow morning? I should probably grab a little bit of money so that we can have something to eat tomorrow morning. Well, I'm going to bring along a whole bag of money so that I can help out the cause. He trusted that Jesus knew all about it. He trusted that Jesus had full power and control and that he could just simply follow Jesus. He didn't have to look out for himself anymore. He didn't have to look out for his interests anymore. He had to look out for Christ's interest here in this world, here on this earth. And brothers and sisters, that is the call to us as we walk and follow our Savior and be disciples of Christ Jesus. We don't need to be concerned about looking out for my interest and my reputation and my friendships and my money and my security and my comfort. I need to look out for Christ. How am I making him look? Am I showing the world that he's worth it? Am I glorifying his name? Is he looking good because of the way that I live my life? Am I following him and making him the priority, or am I still making myself a little bit the priority? The marks of a disciple, the first three, you must believe. You must believe. You must follow. And you must leave all. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, I thank you for your word this morning. Lord, I thank you for the Gospels and how they so beautifully and clearly portray to us the life of Christ and who he is and his power and his character, his goodness. Lord, I pray that you would call again and again to each one of our hearts to follow you. And Lord, that we would abandon all freely, happily, leave all and follow you. That we would be followers of Christ. That we would be believers with belief that acts. In Jesus' name, amen.